The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, it really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Cleaning Nation, Mike Campion here with one of you guys' favorite people, Lindsay Bjorklund, or Bjorklund, if you don't want to be a ridiculous human being saying that. She is here because of all the people on our team. She probably not only does the most kind of administrative back-end stuff, but also spends the most time with our people in a non-like direct coaching way. So she kind of has the back view of what's going on. And as is my custom, when we came for the podcast, I'm like, I have nothing. She's like, I know exactly what I'm talking about. So what she's seen, and correct me if I'm wrong, Lindsay, is as people transition from, there's kind of a couple big transitions you got to make as an owner, one from cleaner to owner, which hopefully a lot of you are cleaner to non-cleaner. And that usually that's instead of working in the field, now I'm just working in the office. So we go from working in the field to working in the office, but we're still working 40, 50, 60 hours a week in the field. And then we go, all right, I'm out of cleaning, but I'm still working 40, 50, 60 hours a week in the office. I'm not making any more money than I was. So that's kind of out of the frying pan into the fire kind of a move. The reason they do that is both of those problems are just, it's a time leveraging problem, right? Like we believe I make money cleaning, therefore I should clean, which is, you know, if making money to you is $20 an hour, then yes, you make money cleaning. And I know you're like, no, I make $40 an hour. I do a move out in 3 hours for $300 and I make $200, blah, 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 blah. But the reality is, as the business owner, everything above the cleaner's wages, you make that as a business owner, whether you clean it or not, right? The selling, the collecting the money, the setting it up, the administration, the insurance, the all the supplies, all the crap that you make happen as an owner, that's what you get paid. The cleaner gets his or her $20 an hour. So if you decide to take the cleaner role, you're only making an additional $20 an hour. Owner you, not cleaner you, is responsible for anything above and beyond that. So what I wanted to get with Lindsay on, because she's got this unique perspective, is her thoughts on the big kind of no-nos and yes-yeses she sees owners making. No-nos would be they keep some stuck either in the office or cleaning. And again, from an experience standpoint, depending on how you feel about office work or cleaning, one's better than the other, I guess. But from a making money, they're both, I got to do payroll, whether I got to clean to get paid or I got to do payroll to get paid or I got to do all this paperwork to get paid. It's still, you got to do something to get paid. Whereas a business is, I've created a set of systems that make sure I make money, whether I do any work or not. So let's start with the no-nos. What are the big things, Lindsay, you see owners doing that keep them stuck, whether it's in the field cleaning toilets or in the office cleaning up poop? Not yes. Literal, but metaphysical.
Yeah, the biggest no-no I noticed right away, excuse me, it's more of a mindset where you think, oh, I'm the only one that can do so-and-so perfectly. Like you think you're the only person that can clean a certain way or run payroll a certain way. And I guarantee
scheduling is another scheduling. One. I'm the only one that knows my delicate flower of a schedule and who can do what.
Yeah. So that's my biggest number one no-no that I see across the board. So once you kind of ease someone out of that mindset of I'm the only one that can do it. And so they see a possibility that, well, maybe someone else can do this for me. Maybe I can learn to trust someone else to do this for me. I think that's like the biggest no-no is thinking you're the only person that can do it, or else you're never going to get out of cleaning. You're never going to get out of the office if you have that kind of mentality. So
let's camp here for a bit, because I think, well, give me the others, but we're probably going to spend, I don't want to cut it, but I'm guessing we're spending 80% of our time there, because that's the biggest one. You nailed it right on the head. Did you have others, or is that the one?
Well, that's the biggest one. And number two, that's kind of related to that I hinted at, is I could never trust someone. Like trust is such a big issue with owners. Is like, hey, Lindsay, I hear this all the time. Hey, Lindsay, I want to hire a VA, but I'm scared, or I don't trust them to answer the phone properly, answer an email properly. I'm just scared. That's another thing.
So, and that's, you're so right, Lindsay. That's exactly, it's another way to say I have to do everything myself. Yeah, so exactly. And I've done this. So by the way, no judgment, guys, gals. This is me going, been there, done that. I'm here to help, not because I'm smarter than you guys, because I've probably banged my head longer than you had to. And I'm like, maybe I can help you make different mistakes than I made. Better mistakes, easier mistakes that won't devastate you. So You're so spot on, Lindsay. It all comes back to, and we make up 1,000 stories, but they all come back to, I have to put on my Superman cape or my Superwoman cape. And it could be, I had a friend that told me you can never hire employees because they'll screw you and blah, 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 blah. But really at the root of it, you nailed it. It's that belief of I am the only one, like my cleaning's different. And it's frustrating because clients will tell you, oh, you're special and you clean better than anybody else. And we get this kooky thing. It's like, great. Do you want to scale a business? No. So what does that matter? Right. Or like, I've got a waiting list. Great. Are you cleaning toilets? Yeah. Did you get in this job to clean toilets? No. So what good is it? You know, or my clients love me. We have all this, we tell ourselves all these other stories to like soothe ourselves, but they really don't matter. At the end of the day, if you're not living the life that you want, it's because you believe you've got to do everything. And I know this because I coach people and they get protective. They'll start with, I work 60 hours a week. I'm miserable. I'm not making any money. I can't scale. I've been doing this for 5 years. I can't get $2 million. Oh, you know, and they're miserable. And then you're like, great, let's start to talk about it. And then you try and get them out of cleaning or out of doing payroll or out of doing their own scheduling or out of answering their own phone. Well, this client has got to do it because he's been with me since the beginning and he's got my cell phone. I've asked him to stop and this like passive non-owner crap. And it all stems from we first started as an owner, or you wouldn't be an owner. You're like, I will put on my Superman cape or my Superwoman cape and I will fly out there. And any problem that comes up, call me. I'm the guy. Cause you are the guy. There's no one else, right? When I started this, it was just me. My bride helped me a bit and she's amazing. But at the end of the day, if there was a problem, you called me, which is fine if that's the life that I wanted. And that was the impact I wanted to have. But if I wanted to help more people, I needed more people. And if I want to have some sort of life and my wife to stay with me, I needed more people. So if I hire Lindsay under the auspice of, I'm the only one that knows how to do this, but you should try and I'll pay you for me to watch you do it and fail. And then I'll do it anyway. Like that's crazy talk. Like if Lindsay's a good employee, she's like, no, thank you. I'm going to go somewhere I can actually do a job. So if you want to let me do a job, we can have that conversation. I will take your money. But not great employees are the ones that are like, yes, I would like you to pay me to watch me work and then fix the work that I did, because that makes sense for everybody. Just from a perspective from your thing, how would that feel? Have you been micromanaged, Lindsay, or by me or anyone else, where someone paid you to do a job and then kept doing the job? And then like, have you been in that situation? How does that feel from an employee standpoint?
Oh, such a good question. I haven't been in that situation at Grow My Cleaning Company because you're definitely not a micromanager, Mike.
crossing my fingers going, maybe I've done this and this is when I find out. That would have been awkward. But
yeah, truth time. No, but being micromanaged, I have been micromanaged several times and it actually hinders the work. Like I feel like you do a crappier job as an employee when you have someone constantly over your shoulder, like making sure you're doing everything right. And it doesn't give you as an employee, as the worker, a chance to innovate and come up with your own ideas to do something that might be actually a step better, a step beyond what the owner might have come up with on their own. So just because you're new in the business, you might be able to try out something different as a cleaner, as an office worker, whatever, fill in the blank. You can't have that opportunity if someone's always over your neck. That's how I always felt, like have to do it this way. There's no other way to do it. That just feels crummy to me.
It's funny because we intuitively get it. None of us like clients where either us or our people are in a building, a house or an office building, and the client is like following you around. You're like, what are you doing, creeper? Like it's super uncomfortable and we don't like it. And if we're smart, we'll tell the client like, hey, this isn't okay. Like if you want us to do the job, let us do the job. And if you don't think we can do it, then fire us, but don't follow us around. And then we immediately follow our employees around doing the exact same thing, like creeping it out. So it's so funny, guys, because Lindsay's absolutely correct. People come to us, be like, tell me what to do to get out of cleaning. And we certainly, there's a lot of information around that. Like you've got to have a core value. You got to have a culture, core values based culture. You've got to know who you are and what you have to offer. You've got to have a hiring funnel that is scalable and repeatable and dependable. There's all sorts of what to do's that we can help you with. But if at the end of the day, your belief is I'm the only one that can fill in the blank, clean, do payroll, sell any aspect of the job that takes a lot of time, I can give you all the systems and processes of the world. They're worthless, right? So yes, I would say 1000% the first thing that you would want to change, and that's why we have mindset coaches, fantastic mindset coaches, is your belief around I'm the only one that can do that. And you've got to change your endorphin hit, whatever it is, the good feelings you get when you start putting out fires, right? Because the reason we do that is when we're just starting, it feels great, right? Lindsay calls me and like, this customer's pissed. I'm like, do this, boom, solved. And then someone else calls and says they're quitting. Like, got it. I'm going to fill this position. I'll do that. Boom, solved. Someone else has got a, you know, pissed off this and, you know, two employees are fighting. I solved that. I'm just like solving problems. It feels great. Until I want to take a vacation or until I don't want to solve problems. And at some point you've got to give up that feeling. And I'll give you the biggest example and we'll move on to the yes, yeses that we're looking for. So I can recall two or three specific times, I'm sure it's happened dozens, where people become a part of our program. And one of my favorite things is they'll get their first vacation with their family in years. Like a lot of times they'll have kids that have like never been on a plane, or they've been on a plane to go visit aunt, whatever, at a funeral that wasn't you know what I'm saying? Like it wasn't a real vacation. And then maybe they took a long weekend by car where the mom or dad or whoever the owner is just worked the whole time anyway. And it's just like, they've never had a real vacation. So one of my favorite things, especially moms and dads taking their kids on a vacation. And once they get it right, they will literally, and Lindsay, tell me if you can, don't say the names, but tell me if you can remember like that. Cause I've got two or three people in my mind who, you know, post and, oh, I'm so excited. I took my first real vacation, 7 days, 10 days, my whole family didn't pick up the phone once, like worked literally that whole 7 or 10 days, less than 3 hours, like zero to like 10 minutes or, you know, just some very nominal amount that was completely non-stressful, and they love it. And they come back and guess what? You guys are all thinking the business has turned into a parking lot. The employees screwed it. Nope. Everything is going great. Everything's just where they left it. And you're like, wow, that's got to be a life-changing thing. You know what they do? They go right back to work.
Yeah.
So not because people need them, not because I get it. If you come back and everything's a dumpster fire, like, okay, I got to put on my fireman stuff. Let's go. But it's not. Everything's working great. They don't go back because they're needed. They don't know what else to do. They're like, this is my life. So I can't emphasize enough. You nailed it so on the head, Lindsay. Certainly there's some skill. I'd say 30%, maybe 40%. You got to know what to do and how to build. You got to do things differently than you did it before. No question. But if I could just get you the skill or the belief, I'll take the belief, because the skills are relatively easy to teach and change. The belief that you've got to do everything is, gosh, you guys fight like to the death to hold on to that thing sometimes. Hey, new friend, love that you are here. If you want more Cleaning Nation, more us, you can check us out on YouTube. Similar content, you just get to see each other. It's totally free. Or if you want to say, hey, hit us up on Instagram, Twitter, join our free Facebook group. We love hearing from you, Cleaning Nation. That's what makes it magic. Jump on, we'll see you there. All right, let's end with some yes, yeses. What are things they can do in a positive way to get out of the day-to-day drudgery and into scaling?
Oh, basic one is yes to delegating. Like if you make a list of all the things that you do that you, there's always stuff you shouldn't be doing as an owner. I feel like, say you're in the office, there's just, you got to get used to delegating. So yes to that. Yes to, just hiring. I think this is a big one. People, a lot of times I say, hey, when do I know if I need a VA or something like that? And I will usually say, if you're asking the question, it's probably past the time. Like you probably, so yes to delegating, yes to hiring, even if you think you're not ready. Those are my two big ones that I see a lot. And I'm guilty of both, of not saying yes to both.
Yeah, I had to literally not yell at Lindsay, but lovingly, loudly encourage her to hire somebody because she's working too much. And she's like, I can do that. I'm like, yeah, just get the job done. So, oh, okay. And then she got great at it. But yeah, for the first, I don't know, less than 6 months, more than 2 months, Lindsay was all a Twitter with trying to do everything herself and struggling. So the only thing I'm going to add to that, because you're spot on, Lindsay, is when you hire, get crystal clear on what you want them to do. You've got to have a job description, and that job description should be outcome-based, not task-based. Lindsay and I, before we did this podcast, had a good 30-minute conversation about her position, what she does, and how much we love her. And I don't know, less than 10% is my guess. I wasn't like recording, would be tasks. I want you to do this thing. 80, 90% was outcome. Here's the outcome that we need as a company and how we could compensate you for that. Because I trust Lindsay, she's smart. If I give her a clear outcome and it's within her skill set, she'll do the tasks. If I have to micromanage her for the task, she's probably not the right lady. I should find someone else that can figure that crap out on her own. So let's talk about the first one that you said, which is so important. What was the first one? Is
delegating,
which is just the flip side of the coin of I have to do everything myself. Delegating is I can have someone else do it. And again, it's a beliefs thing. Not only do we want to believe, well, you know, because the minimum, the baby step belief is, well, just math. You don't even have to have a belief. You can do math. This makes sense. Well, let's say I work 100 hours a week. Not that I'm recommending that, but I think we'd all agree you have to sleep or you'll die. So if you take out sleep and like peeing and God willing a shower and getting dressed and just the very basic, just call it 100, maybe it's 107, maybe it's 92. I don't know. Call it 100 hours a week. That's it. You can't work anymore or you'll die. Or 140, whatever the total number is, like I'm magic. I don't have to sleep. Like, fine. I'm going to call it 100. Put in your number. At that point, that's it. You know, and I'd argue, obviously you're going to be way less effective at 100 than you would be at 50. Cause even if you could physically do it, the quality of your work's going to be garbage. So you're going to be repeating and doing much, but let's just say you're this magic superman, superwoman that can work 100 hours a week forever and not die. Good luck with that. If you want to get twice as many work, well, you can hire somebody, you can do 200. That's it. You know, what if that guy's half as good as me? Okay. Well, now at least you got 150. Not that they're going to work 100. So you're like, they won't work 100. They'll only work, you know, 40. Great. Now you at least have 120. But if you hire 10 of them, we can all agree the math says at some point you're going to have to, the only way you can leverage, you have to leverage other people's time because your time is finite. You can make more money and you can buy other people's time with your money. But that's it. You only have a finite amount of time. So that's just the very basic piece. Where you really need to get to is like Lindsay and I, hopefully she knows I am clear as a bell. I don't have her doing this because I don't want to do it. And because I have so much stuff to do and I couldn't afford to do her job because I don't have enough time. I do it because she does it with grace and with skill and it doesn't suck the life out of her. And I would do it not gracefully with not a tremendous amount of skill. And I could do it because I have to, but I wouldn't do it. It would suck the life out of me. And Lindsay's like, I don't mind this kind of work. This is what I'm made for. I do some enrollment calls. Lindsay would not flourish in that, but she would be miserable. So you got to move from I can do it all to I can do 100 hours a week of work. And that's not even ideal or realistic long-term. So I've got to get other humans, but they could maybe do 60% as good as I am too. No, they could do 200% as good as you can, right? There's no universe. I'm never going to be as good at Lindsay at the types of things she does because I hired my weakness, period. Some things I can do, it'd be really hard to hire better than me. All of my can, there's someone smarter than me in every single possible thing and they'll do it for money. So you got to move from, I got to do everything to obviously I can't do everything. I'll hire people who will do not as good of a job to me to the real places. I'll hire people that'll do a better job than me. And then I can be free to do the things I know I love, but I'm good at. Anything to add on that before we hit the kind of the delegation job outcome type thing?
The only thing I want to add that I see just one little situation that pops up all the time is what if I delegate and something goes wrong? Like, I'm just like, what if something goes wrong and I have to come put a fire out? And I always say that's still better than you doing everything. Like, even if you have to, you know, say a cleaner broke something or, you know, and you weren't cleaning and someone else broke something, like at least, you know, that's not going to be an everyday thing. So I don't think people should let that be a setback. If the first go around and delegating doesn't work out the way you think it would, like, don't make that an excuse to not keep trying. That's all.
You said it, you kind of tagged on something I think is genius, Lindsay, which is don't make that mean. So that's where the power is. You can choose to make that mean whatever you want. When I first hired Lindsay's predecessor, she actually had a small business. So I thought, oh, she'll be okay to handle all this stuff. And she did a good job for three, 4 months. Right over three months. Cause the place that we had said they would replace her for 3 months and their free ad, get a great assistant is the name of the place. And they have a 90-day deal. If it doesn't work out, they'll get you a new one. And I think I called back 96 days later or whenever the lady left is like, and I was like expecting to pay the full amount. And I would have been wildly happy with, a discount, like, hey, they just, you know, you're out of the thing, but I'll give you a discount. They're like, we'll replace her, no problem. So get a great assistant. Appreciate you guys. And they brought us Lindsay. So come on, like, how can we not love them?
Shout out.
Yeah, shout out. Free. We are not sponsored by them. They did a great job and I love Lindsay. And Lindsay came from them. So I love them. So that's how that works. So anyway, it was 90 days. She left and she was just a little overwhelmed. And I don't think she's working 80 hours a week, but she's probably working 45, 50, maybe 55. And, you know, our people kind of are contractors. They're not, I don't tell Lindsay what to do every day, all day. So I don't keep track of that. Lindsay came and started going down the only problem with the first lady. She's like, this isn't what I wanted. Cause she was an owner. She was used to just doing everything and not delegating. She was a small business owner that sold her business. She had a daycare business because she was overwhelmed. She's like, I can't work 60 hours a week. And then she saw herself going down the road again with this job. And, you know, we parted friends. She's great. She gave 2 weeks. There's nothing bad about it. Just wasn't a fit. When Lindsay came, she started going down that road. The difference was Lindsay came to me going, I like the vibe. I want to be here. I don't think this is she wasn't even complaining. I think she actually came to me going, how can I work 50 hours a week? Like, she wasn't complaining. She was like, kind of just under, I guess I just have to work 50 hours a week. And I was like, well, hold on. Maybe we could do something different. So she wasn't even she was like complaining or apologizing, I think, for dropping balls. Like, well, I'm working 50 hours a week. Maybe I could work more. Yeah. She was trying to teach me how to work more hours. I'm like, no, we need to get you some help. So the only difference was she was willing to change her mindset and her belief and delegate because she wasn't a small business owner. She's like, well, it just made more sense to her. Okay. So last thing I wanted to get is, and I didn't do as good of a job with this with Lindsay, but we've gotten better in recent times, is making a very clear list of outcomes that you want. And then for lower wage or beginning people, you can kind of give them some tasks that you recommend. But that's it. So when you do a job description, it should be less than a page. It should always start with your core values. For us, it's have fun, make money, be real, help out. So the rules of the game that Lindsay's going to play is we always got to follow the rules. Have fun, make money, be real, help out, which is easy because Lindsay was doing that before I met her and she'll be doing it after we're not working together because that's who she is. So that part was easy when you find the right person. And then the outcome would be, and we've actually been working on this with Lindsay, it would be like happy customers to some degree, and how we quantify that Lindsay and I are still working on. But for a cleaner, it would be good reviews, right? You know, this many good reviews versus this many bad reviews. Show up on time. Have your partners like you. Like, see how these are just very, you know, actually, I don't even know about show up on time. That's kind of almost a task. Whereas an outcome is if your partners like you and the customer likes you, I don't care if you show up on time or not. I'm guessing if you don't, customers and the people you work with won't like you, but you see how you can solve that out. So as opposed to micromanaging, use this towel, this thing, and show up on that time and have this kind of, just be like, every house that you clean, you should get 2 positive reviews a month and less than 1 negative review a quarter, and your people should like living with you or working with you. Those are outcomes. So start with core values, outcomes, and then compensation. And that's it. It should be less than a page. And there should only be like 2 or 3 outcomes at the most. And then if it's real complex, you can give them some suggestions on how they do it. But the outcome is really what you track for. All right. I've said everything I need to say. Lindsay, wrap us up. Anything I missed? Anything you want to add? What's shaking?
No, I think you covered everything awesomely. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Oh, such a lie. There's so much I didn't cover and so much it was unawesome, but we're going to let it slide. All right, guys, gals, hopefully you get value. If you want more, you can follow us on Instagram. We just started TikTok and I think my wife's doing that. I thought it was going to be nuts, but so far so good. We'll see. Obviously the podcast, but growmycleaningcompany.com has, I think, everything you need about us, our Facebook group, blah, blah, blah. Check it out. See you there now.
Yeah.
Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share it with a friend. Share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now, 602-932-6431. Give me a text, say hey, can't wait to meet you.